Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That's the main concern. Whole hood celebrate when the tables turn, you see. Feels like I'm on the cusp. Great forever. Forever's not long enough. It's just...
This is the Soundcheck Podcast, live in-studio performances from newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook. I'm John Schaefer. The rapper and producer known as Black Milk is based in L.A. these days, but he'll always be associated with Detroit, with fellow Detroit producers like the late Jay Dilla or Detroit rappers like Danny Brown. His new album is called Fever. It's his seventh, and on it he displays his talent for building beats and songs out of the most unexpected source materials. He's here to play a couple of songs from Fever for us today. This first one is called Unveil. Here is Black Milk, live on Soundcheck.
Now at last, on a path, don't run out of gas. Wasting time and a lot of cash, watching time pass in an hourglass. Who to ask, tell me who would last. Living, hoping the solution pass. Think you had enough when something's not adding up. When you do the math, trying to find the real, but you find worse. What was happiness now hurts. Sitting with a pen, writing, trying to find the words that'll help you find worth. And when the heart beats faster. Standing over their heads. Two. It's like everybody. Everybody hot and fever pitch. Heat is rising, you can see the temp. Love leaving, why the haters see the screaming. The leader and your leadership. Hope for love make you go insane. Hoping drugs take away the pain. But the heart still beating, body still breathing. So I guess I can't complain. Look, listen, learn, love costs. Especially when you see the love lost. Every other night in this life, it's a fight. Gotta take the gloves off and y'all was good.
That is Black Milk with a version of Unveil, which is the lead-off track from his latest record, Fever. Black Milk is the work of Curtis Cross. Was I presumptuous in saying that you're always going to be a Detroit musician, a Detroit
rapper? I will always be a Detroit musician at heart, Detroit artist, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, no matter where I'm at in the world, you know what I'm saying? Like, Detroit music and, you know, Detroit artists has influenced what I've done, you know, so much. It doesn't matter where I go. And at this point, you know what I'm saying? It's just in me. It's in my work. And it's how I move.
That's you take your Detroit with you.
Yeah, basically.
So the version that you just did here is different from the version on the album in a very key way, because this album is really kind of a live band project, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say full-on live band. Like, some of the musicians I play with in Detroit, you know, keyboardist Ian Fink, young cats, Sasha Kashberko, guitarist, you know, those two guys were really, like, the glue with my production. You know, I would bring in beats and whatever, and they would add layers on top of it, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was a mixture of live instrumentation and, you know, what I do on, you know, drum machines and right. chopping up samples, old records, obscure stuff like that. So yeah, it was a mixture of all of that.
Now, when the beat first comes in, it sounds like a mistake, you know, it's just like crazy, what is that? Yeah. But it immediately becomes beat.
And that's the type of vibe I'm always on. Like, a lot of my influence comes from, like, people like Sly and Family Stone, people like Parliament Funkadelic, people like James Brown, of course, like a beautiful chaos type of thing, you know, in their music where it was kind of sloppy, kind of off, but it was so on at the same time, you know. That's the kind of feeling and the energy I like for my music to have, because some of my favorite artists, you know, that inspire me, that's the type of rhythm and beat that they're on. It's a little offbeat, so yeah.
So when you're listening to records, you know, if you're listening to some obscure disc that you found somewhere, are you listening for those little moments where you think, oh, right there,
Exactly, man. And, you know, most of my production has always been sample-based, majority of it, you know what I'm saying? Even with me, you know, making original music and using live musicians or all that, like, I still, it's something about the school of production, hip hop production I come from is the DJ Premieres and the Jay Dillas and the Pete Rocks, and, you know, where the art of going to record shops and digging for records and, you know, like listening through a record for that one magical moment where you can take, chop it up and tune it, detune it, whatever, and create something totally new, to the point sometimes where nobody even knows where it's from. And if they do figure out where it's from, they like, man, how did you even create this whole new melody or whatever from this little, it's a whole art to, like, sampling, you know what I'm saying? That,
right.
Like, I feel like if you don't really produce or, like, make beats, you're not really going to fully understand it. Because some people just look at it as just, like, taking a record and rapping over it. But when in terms of people like I say, P-Rock, J Dilla, Premier, Q-Tip, like, it's a whole art to that thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So yeah. You worked with Dilla early on, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, one of the things with him was, you know, he would take stuff that did not seem like it would be grist for his mill, and he somehow made something out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a kind of a crazy video of you online where you're given, like, some random LPs and asked to make a beat out of it, and by golly, you do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he was... Dilla, it was a alien with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was the person that opened, I think, a lot of hip-hop producers' minds up to, like, you know, you don't have to just stick to jazz and soul and funk, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was kind of the first producer that you seen drift out and create this crazy music and a marriage between hip-hop and, like, electronic music and techno music and just, you know, house music and jazz and just prog rock, like all these other genres outside of, you know, what most producers were sampling in the 90s, which was more so like jazz, funk, and soul. Like, he just threw all of that out the window and, like, just showed you, like, yo, it's a whole nother world. And yeah, so he's my biggest influence, man, you know, when in terms of beats, you know, and production. And even outside of what he did with beats, like, sonically, I don't know what he was doing in his basement, because you would have thought he had, like, a crazy SSL console or a Neve board or something like that, because all of his music sonically just sounds so great and set, and the speaker's so perfect, you know, the way his kick and his snare, EQs, compression, like, he did everything so perfect, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he was just an amazing cat. So yeah.
So what is your setup? Do you have the Neve and an SSL?
Nah, I wish I did. I work on them when I go to other people's studios, but not at my home studio. But yeah, my home setup is more so just like, it's even more stripped down than it was a couple years ago, because I used to be like all hardware, like just a rack of preamps and MPC 3000 drum machine and, you know, compressors, just hardware. But I recently converted everything to software. So now I'm just in like Ableton and MIDI controllers and stuff like that, you know, and just doing everything inside of the box. So I finally converted. It took me a while to like catch up to the whole software world, you know what I'm saying? But I just was seeing like the workflow of a lot of younger artists and producers, like their workflow was so, and they was able to, you know, make whatever they want anywhere in the world, like versus me when I go on tour, I'm like, man, I can't make nothing if I want to unless I convert over. So, you know, it was one of those things, but now I'm all into it and yeah, I'm digitizing right. basically.
Well, and it gives you the opportunity to do something like you're doing for us today, definitely. You know, band in a box sort of thing.
Right,
it's all digital.
Yeah.
But given your choice when you go out on tour, it's a band.
Yeah, well, yeah. When I tour, I have a three piece, like just drums, bass, and keys. You know,
yeah.
The name of the band is Nat Turner, and we've been touring together, you know, for 7-8 years now. So yeah. We've been together for a while. So chemistry is great, and our live show is really, really good. You know what I'm saying? So because everybody in the band is like, you know, younger dudes, but our influences is like some of the artists I mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So yeah.
We're speaking with Black Milk. The new album's called Fever. And before we get too far from Unveil, the V and the E in Unveil are capitalized.
You noticed that.
And then elsewhere on the record, the V and the E in Eve.
Yeah.
And the V and E in Dive, also capitalized. Are we celebrating the end of World War II here? what is the significance of the VE?
I was just kind of playing around with the letters, man. I was just on some artistic stuff because the title of the album is Fever and got the V in it as well. And I noticed that some of the titles had VE in it, and I was like, man, it'd be kind of, I'm gonna just capitalize, you know,
okay.
and just make it look a little interesting and more deeper than what it really is. And but it's funny because you're the first person to actually, I was waiting to see if somebody was going to catch it, like, but you're the first person that caught it. It's funny.
But it is an album about something.
Oh, definitely. Yes, it's definitely, I mean, the whole title Fever comes from like feeling like the climate and the state of the climate that we're in the world and the country is high and the temperature and everybody's kind of on this certain like edge that they're on, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm like talking about certain topics, social issues and things that I've seen, especially that's happened in the last 2 to 3 years, you know, a lot of topics of discussion and just kind of giving my perspective on it, you know, and how I see things and watching certain conversations that I see, especially online, and kind of like addressing certain points that I think people don't really see or that goes over people's heads in terms of like certain topics of discussions and conversations. So yeah, you would hear a lot of different kind of topics from it, whether it's something concerning, you know, the relationship between urban community, Black community and police, or or in terms of sexism, you know what I'm saying? Just a variety of different things where it's all kind of going to blur right now in my head.
But well, social media is something that you use, but you seem to be ambivalent about.
Yeah,
And a title like True Lies in an era of fake news seems to be kind of treading in that territory a little bit.
Yeah, and that song you just mentioned, True Lies, is, like I say, once again, like that's a song that's kind of touching on education and religion and, you know, just the things that we're taught basically from you know, a young age for all of these years, and just kind of like questioning it, you know what I'm saying, and like, you know, what's real and what's not. That's kind of what I do in the song True Lies, but in a real like simplistic kind of way, you know. I didn't try to get too like extra, you know, make it too like, you know what I'm saying, layered or like symbolic. Like I kind of just got straight to the point of, in terms of like even touching on something as simple as like me being raised in a religious household with a religious, you know, parents, and like, are we doing this because it's something that's real, something that's true, or are we doing this just because it's something that's a tradition and you're passing it on to me because your parents passed it on to you, and yeah, so on and so on. So yeah, a little stuff like that, man. So
you want to do the song for us?
Yeah, you set me up perfect.
It is part of the job. Black Milk is here with us in the Soundcheck studio today. The latest album, his 7th solo effort, is called Fever. This song is on it. It's called True Lies.
Let's do it.
Yeah, told us to keep it pure, caught up in the allure, but see that's not what I was looking for, wasn't sure. I wanted more, I wanted more.
tell no lies, tell me no lies. If you tell no lies, tell me no lies. If you tell no lies, tell me no lies.
I say, was born into a hell, but you already fail. They say don't let life on the edge, man, I might as well. Yeah.
Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies.
Love. Better brace yourself, brace yourself. Be close to the end, save yourself. You out for the money, make your wealth. Move silent, don't waste your breath. Do better, cause they never taught us stocks and bonds. Only taught designer clothes, gold chains, rockin' charms. So I hardly paid attention. In my hood, you feel that tension. When rather make it dependent than go pay your tuition. Always listen when it's here to hold your head. Lives ruined, better days are on the way. But I think they all lied to us like. Told us to keep it pure, caught up in the allure. But see, that's not what I was looking for. Wasn't sure. I wanted more. It's like.
Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies.
It's like. Teacher, teacher, why you keep feeding me false? Information taught, is this a way to keep me lost? Told me here to make us brighter, but you keep me in the dark. Told me turn a chapter and remember everything you taught. Educated fool, that's why we hated school. I guess I'm different, had me thinking about my teacher, but my preacher was no different. Mama picked up a tradition of religion, I knew it. Had to break tradition, told mama they lied to us like. Say. Told us to keep it pure, caught up in the allure. But see, that's not what I was looking for. Wasn't sure. I wanted more. Slide.
Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies.
Was born into a hell, so you already fail. They say don't live life on that edge, man, I might as well. Yeah.
Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies. Tell no lies, tell me no lies.
Yeah.
Once again, Black Milk with True Lies. The new album is called Fever. So in the making of that song, the guitar part was played live?
Yeah, that entire record was actually played live. I didn't do any manipulation to it. Yeah, it was one of those things where we was actually listening to a Police song, and it kind of was inspired by that. And I don't want to put the name on which record it was, but yeah, it was a Police record we was listening to, and the drummer was jamming on it, like just grooving on a groove, and everybody started playing along to it, and we made it our own thing, you know, of course, and I kind of really made it like funky and whatever. So, that's what happened. But yeah, that's all live right there.
So, do you consider yourself a producer first, rapper second? Do you draw distinctions?
I would, just because I started off rapping first. So, you know, it was one of those things where I was rapping probably 2 years before I got into production. But once I got into production, I found that I had like more of a passion for constructing the music, making beats, the whole process, digging for records. Like that whole process was, I had more of a passion for that than for rhyming, you know, rapping. So, but you know, I still like to write songs or whatever and put together my own projects. And so, yeah, but I would definitely consider myself a producer first. And my brain is more of a producer brain than a rap brain. So, yeah.
Well, if we had been having this conversation after the last record, I don't think I would have even asked the question because you were a producer. But with Fever, you know, your rapping is back in front. So, although there are a couple of tracks that are instrumental, they're just productions.
Yeah, and that's the producer side of me. Like, you know, you're not really going to hear that on a rap album, just a beat playing, but yeah.
Right. So you mentioned how, you know, this is an album kind of in response to the temperature. You know, the country seems to be at kind of a slow boil at this point.
Exactly.
Is that the album you set out to make?
No, it wasn't. I've been saying, like, I initially wanted to make a feel-good type of record because my last two albums were a little darker, you know, had a darker tone to them. So when I went into this, when I was like, man, I'm gonna make something a little brighter, more vibrant, you know, just more feel good, you know. And that started before like the whole election thing happened and whatever, whatever. So once I start creating an album, but you know, we went into that time period in the country and just other social issues that was happening, it kind of steered some of the songs to have a darker tone, more serious tone to it. So you kind of, when you listen to the album, you might feel like a little bit of an up and down in terms of like feel good and a little bit of like, okay. But every song is some kind of topic that addresses something that's going on.
For most of the album, I think it is still, it sounds like a feel-good record, you know?
That's good.
The samples are really beautiful, and, you know.
That makes me feel good, then. <'Cause>
And it isn't until you start actually paying attention to the words that you're like, oh dear.
And you know what? You're right. Maybe it's a thing of, like, the music is more, like, melodic and a little more vibey, but the words are actually a little more heavy. So maybe that's the thing that's going on. Okay.
And one of the other kind of interesting little twists is this seems to be some of your most relaxed rapping, even as, and there are exceptions, but in general, it seems like that's the case.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's an age thing or what, but yeah, I wanted to
I just want to say, you keep talking about, like, the younger guys, what are you, you're in your early 30s?
I mean,
what
happened is like, I find myself, like, wanting to hear certain things and certain sounds and certain vibes more and more, and other vibes less and less, you know, the older I get. So this was one of those things where I made a more laid back kind of vibey album in comparison to what I've made before. And I was a little nervous about that. I was like, man, you know, it's not really no aggressive, super aggressive records on here and super like traditional hip hop sounding records, but the response has been, you know, really good so far. So I'm happy about it.
Well, you know, if you think of like some of the great music of the African diaspora, whether it's Calypso in the Caribbean or Soca in Central Africa or West African highlife, you know, you listen to these songs and it sounds like simple, mindless dance music. And when you drill into it, it's like talking about colonialism and racism. And, you know, that's a great tradition in pop music.
Right. And, you know, I might stay on this wave that I'm on, you know, the wave that I'm on Fever. I might continue this wave for a little longer, you know, seeing that people dig, you know, this sound, this vibe that I'm on. So it's cool.
Now, having gone out of my way to say that it's a feel-good album, the song you're going to do next for us, you've done a video for it.
Laugh Now, Cry Later,
And it is a super creepy video.
Super. Super creepy? I would say super. It's kind of creepy, though.
It's creepy. It's a creepy video.
Okay, cool. That makes me feel even better that you feel that it's super creepy. But yeah.
Was it inspired by Get Out, the Jordan Peele movie?
No, it wasn't. It just kind of ended up having a little bit of that same feeling. But yeah, we wasn't really thinking Get Out. Like, you know, I just knew I wanted to create something kind of bizarre and a little off. So, shout out to Sudi. She's an artist. Actually, she was on the first record singing Unveil. She came with the idea of like having two people having like a conversation about whatever's going on in the world, and you know, Rosalinda also, my manager, she actually also was a part of, you know, the writing process, and of course it was my idea to make it creepy in terms of like, yo, why don't we have like, you know, a certain part of video where their eyes are crazy and you know, where they like kind of zombie like, and actually like, let's not have them talk and say anything, let's just have them like mute and just do subtitles. And yeah, it was one of those things. So yeah, it was like all three of our minds coming together to make a real cool video. So yeah.
And this was the first single off the record, Al.
Yes, yeah, the first single. Yep.
It's called Laugh Now, Cry Later. Maybe I'll let you do it first. I have a question about this song, but I'll let you do it first, and then we'll continue our conversation. Black Milk is here with us on Soundcheck.
All right, let's see if I don't stumble over the words. Let's do it. Here we go.
To help you break in. Now, there is not a black man in this country.
Social media good for us, however, is that the roots of so many of those questions.
And just how rap videos are an exaggerate gang life.
Yeah.
2-2-2-2. Two.
Do it.
slot. I say, do I see a soul or do I see a facade? Either you hurt or happy, can't make up your mind. Laugh, nah, cry later. On a timeline, should I hide in the disguise from strangers? Watching my highs or my demise, laugh, not cry later. It's like evil remains, world ain't really changed. Moments of filler anger, next moment you entertain. Laugh through the pain. It be those same celebs you seeing in starstruck, same time seeing them appropriating the culture. Like, cry later.
I see the whole world different now. You see my whole world different now. You in the sky, better learn to fly before your spaceship hits the ground. Woo! Tell me who should get the crown. You see, this is what you get for now. I see the whole world different now. You see my whole world different now.
Look, it's like from raps to movies. Black is beauty. Cop didn't feel the same. Felt he had to shoot me. Laugh now, cry later. Like off on the game, screaming out gang gang until little homie pull up, put a bullet through a brain. Laugh not, cry later. It's like some is fake woke, like they don't have any flaws. Some is too turnt, don't represent any cause. Life's a balance, we live in ours. Lanes giving their opinion on her persona. My wear your hand, make up the way you wanna. The man's opinion. Yeah, some people hoping to build, some hoping to heal. Talking to a profile, hoping it's real, for real. Look,
I see the whole world different now. You see my whole world different now.
Yeah,
you in the sky, better learn to fly before your spaceship hits the ground. Tell me who should get the crown. You see, this is what you get for now. I see the whole world different now. You see my whole world different now.
Yeah, laugh not cry later.
That's the name of the song, Black Milk, here in our soundcheck studio with the first single from the most recent album called Fever.
Yes.
So what is that vocal sample, that Ilah? It almost sounds like it's taken from a, you know, kind of Muslim chant or something.
Yeah, now it was some, man, it's something I found online going through this record blog site that has like a whole bunch of little snippets of the records that they're selling. And it was some weird, like European, maybe Dutch type of record. I don't even really remember. It was just, I just thought the vocal sample was real cool.
Yeah.
Of course, like it says something different than if you listen to the original, but I made it do what it did in the song.
Right. So, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a really kind of, you know, striking.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it repeats constantly, so yeah, it burrows into your ear, but right. Then. I'm wondering, what the hell is that?
Right, yeah.
But that's one of the great things about making music this way is, you know, it sort of plays with the mind's ear where it's like, that sounds like something and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and that was one of the more like simplistic pieces of like production on an album where I didn't have a lot of musical stuff going on. It was just the loop from the vocal sample just had a feeling to it that I liked, and I was like, man, I'm not going to do too much to overproduce this record. Like,
and is that why you put this kind of really rubbery, elastic bass line on top of it to kind of offset that?
That's actually in the sample. Like, I didn't add,
is
like,
it really?
That's all, everything you're hearing is the sample. It's a little bit of electric guitar here and there that I added, but that's all the sample. Yeah.
Wow, that is crazy.
It's crazy, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So the album ends with a little clip of someone saying everybody is a potential victim.
Yeah.
Which, as a parting shot goes, is kind of pessimistic for an album that really doesn't seem to have a whole lot of pessimism at its core.
Right.
Why that as your send off?
It was one of those things where I think the night before I turned the album in, I was already like a day late in turning the album in. I wanted to add like these little audio clips. Well, first I was watching these like little films, video footage from like the 80s of like just some people in the projects talking about, I forgot the name of the projects. It was in Chicago. And it was just a crazy, like it was a lot of crazy dialogue in the video, you know what I'm saying? And I felt watching that video, even though it was from like the late 70s, early 80s, a lot of the stuff that they were saying, you know, could apply to today's times, you know what I'm saying? So I just took a few clips. If you listen throughout the album, you hear a few different audio clips,
right?
You know, without, and so that was the last one, you know, that I heard. I was like, man, I'm gonna just put this right here. That'll be an interesting way to, like, a cool way just to end the album on that note and plant that seed in people's heads.
So, yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like an ending. It sounds like a to be continued.
Yeah, it does. It does, which I like, which I like. So, yeah.
So, more to come?
Oh, always, man. Definitely. Like, all right. Yeah, definitely always working on music and a lot more to come.
We've been speaking with Black Milk. He's been performing for us here in the studio today. Curtis, really great to have you here. Thanks so much.
Man, thank you for having me. Like, I appreciate this. This was really cool. So, yeah, thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
Yeah, you and I seem like we both had a thing, only two would try. Where the love lie, now we on some do or die. Yeah, who am I to deserve while you're curving? After all those niggas you was curving, kicked to the curvage, wasn't working. Cut them off, block cars, close curtains. Yeah, behind closed curtains, very low flirting. A lot of no pants, no shirtin'. Follow your wave to the edge of the earth and back, already seen where the worst at. Something real, I can tell you was worth that. Needed a drink and I fell for your thirst trap. Good times when we were trapped, them bad times, wish I could go back and reverse that. Find where the hurt at, searching, no stress from before. With any exes, sending X's and O's. A cold world, but as long as we know before we step in the cold.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Hear other Soundcheck podcasts and see other videos online at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
And the feeling is strong. The feeling is right, even if it's wrong.
Temptation, waiting for the perfect, impatient. So you settle for.